And thank you for tuning in for part two of Inspiration with Semolina Webb, where we discuss race in America, what I call the ongoing divider in America. Initially, this was going to just be a two-part discussion. However, since I tend to close my eyes and let my emotions flow, I was not aware that I actually had a very long tape. So it'll actually be three parts. And depending upon how your responses and any questions or comments you make, I can actually do a special Q&A where we answer the questions you ask. So I thank you for your patience, your understanding, and for being willing to discuss this tough topic with me. You know, I shared with you that I was hesitant to actually release it. It's one that I actually spoke about 2 weeks ago. But I think the risk to offending someone is less than the risk of not educating someone. And for that reason alone, I am going to go ahead, post the podcast, and hope that you receive it with the love and intention that I am sending it. I am not by any means trying to put my opinions on you, but I just think that if you have more a reference of what people go through, then you might be able to respond or understand some of the actions that ensue behind the interactions you have with people who may not look like you. And so the other thing I wanted to do was get the name correct of the program I was in. It was the Parent Involvement Committee. That's what it was. So here we go. I'm going to bring in section two, and I hope that you find it helpful. I wanted to pick up again on the topic of race and how it has affected me, my children, and my family. And I went back and I listened to what I shared with you, and I wanted to give you a little bit more background. I had a friend that I was really close with. I remember her name was Karen, and she could come and visit and stay. But whenever I went to walk her home, this was when I lived on Beacon Hill, which was the first, I want to say, 12, 13 years of my life. Maybe a little longer than that. We were in elementary school together, and I remember walking her home one day and to pick up something to come back to my house, and she said, okay, you'll have to wait right here. And I said, what am I waiting for? Why can't I go in with you? She said, because my mom doesn't like black people. Oh, no, excuse me. It wasn't her mom. It was her grandmother. And so I remember that being really weird. And I was like, are you kidding me? And she was like, no, my grandmother will have a fit. And we were little girls. We were in elementary school. And I just shook my head. I waited for her. I remember kicking rocks and just thinking, wow. And so later on that day, after she went home, got what she needed, we went back to my house and we played and stuff. And then later on, I talked to my mom about it some. And she said, you know, if her mom and her grandmother are not comfortable with you there, then, you know, perhaps she shouldn't come here either because we don't want to have a problem. And so that was just, that again was one of those things, you know, when you're young and you're preteen, you just go, people are tripping, and you just keep moving on with life. And so that's kind of what I did. Kept my head down, did the hard work, moved on with life. And I did not go to that school. I remember saying, no way. I wasn't going to be the token for that school or the teachers or play their winter sports. The other one was they wanted to know if I did gymnastics or played basketball. And it was kind of offensive to me that that was what these gym teachers and faculty were looking at me as. They weren't asking me what my goals were in life, where if I wanted to go to college. Their concern was that to know how my athletic ability was. So pretty offended and disappointed. After the incident with seeing the words on the bathroom wall and finding out they only had two other African American kids at the school, I decided that was not the place for me to be. So I continued in the Seattle School District, and generally did not have a lot of problems with race. I went out to the North End. I remember just being kind of a more alert and almost angry about the experiences that I was faced with in Redmond. Even though I didn't go to the school, I still faced those experiences in, you know, the day-to-day life. Being at the bank as I got older, and or being just in line to purchase something, or standing in line for the fitting room and having people tell me, oh no, you can wait, and just running around me like I wasn't there, and then getting no help from the adults that were around. Of course, if it had been my mother, it would have been different, but it was just a general dislike that I felt from the people, Caucasian people, and not all, but the majority of the ones that I didn't, they didn't know me in Redmond. And that was hard growing up. I remember as an adult, because I continued to live in Redmond until 1991 is when I moved back into the city of Seattle. And I remember doing things like on my lunch hour, going to purchase something and walking into Bellevue Square and wanting to buy something at Penny's, and literally no one would help me. And I just looked around and I'm thinking, you know, one is talking on the phone to whoever she's got, one walked to the back and someone else walked somewhere else. And I remember talking to another lady there, and she was telling me that, you know, she had went through this problem before and that they had a lot of race issues. And I just couldn't believe it, because I'm thinking, I go to work every day and I don't have those kind of problems. Well, lo and behold, I started having those kind of problems at work. I got promoted and I started being kind of targeted for malicious things. People would call me and they would say dirty words to me on the phone. Another time someone wrote the word dead on a folder. And I just remember thinking, wow. How did these people go from being my coworkers and I thought friends to all of a sudden being angry that I've now got this promotion? And then one actually verbalized to me, she said, I'm from Montana and I've never worked with a black person, let alone for one. And I said, you know, we're both here for the same reason. I have children. I just want to work every day, do my best job. I don't know that my color has anything to do with it, and I'm sorry that you feel that it does. Unfortunately, even with me attempting to continue with life as I thought it was normal, I wasn't always met with the same consideration. And although I had no issue with the people around me who did not look like me, it was apparent to me from comments, suggestions, and attitudes that they were very, very aware of what I was not aware of. And it almost became a situation where I think I was walking around in denial, because I thought as long as I did the best job I could, that they would look past whatever differences we had. And it didn't work out that way. So I'm going to leave these issues with you and these thoughts, and then we'll finish up with part 3. Thank you.